Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, everyone, let's bring back to the show Dr. Paul Offit from the world's greatest children's hospital, CHOP, Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. And my producer told me, too, your portfolio there, Dr. Offit, is a little bit bigger than I thought. You're the director of the Vaccine Education Center. We know that's a full-time job. I'm going to ask you about that. An attending physician in the infectious disease department, correct?
That's right.
All right, well, doctor, when we talked with you back in a long time ago in this pandemic, you said at that point your judgment was you would not have shut down schools. It was sometime in March. And I thought, given what we knew then, that was very accurate. I think it's been amplified since then, the data, the information that we have. Am I correct in that?
Yeah, I think, you know, at the beginning, the CDC did not think that closing schools would change the epidemiology. They didn't think that children, first of all, were going to suffer in terms of, you know, be hospitalized or die, which has certainly turned out to be true. Children seem to be relatively spared from this in terms of severe disease. And there were certainly countries like Singapore that never shut down their schools that were able to get on top of this outbreak. So I think that probably was right. We'll never know because, you know, most schools were shut down. But
right.
I think 2 years from now, we're going to look back at this and see things that we did and things that we didn't do that that should have been done. And we'll learn from this because we are about to pay a massive price in joblessness.
Well, exactly right. And all kinds of things. I'm looking at Central Pennsylvania, doctor. I've been doing more of the state newspapers, you know, the smaller ones. And the overdose cases in Cumberland County are off the charts. Yeah, when you mentioned joblessness, so people got a $1,200 stimulus check, but they're alone. They're going through whatever status they are with drugs. That money's burning a hole in their pocket. There's few places to go, and they're seeing a tremendous uptick in that.
Yeah, we're reaching a level of joblessness of 20% of the American population. And with joblessness comes homelessness and food insecurity and domestic violence and child abuse and suicide, depression. I mean, all the things that follow that. We're going to be digging out from this for years.
We're talking with Dr. Paul Offit from Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. So that's why it's so curious to me that we contacted you again to get an update. And I like the response you gave to Dan, and I wanted to talk with you for listeners. That we see these people already projecting that school will not open in September. The head, the education secretary in Pennsylvania, if he had to guess, that's what he says. To me, that is not a hopeful sign, and I don't know that it's based upon any science. I guess if we had a huge surge or some new information came our way, some new study. But what do you think of this now, the idea that schools, public schools, wouldn't be open in September?
I think we're sort of doing things haphazardly and generally in an uninformed manner, mostly because we just don't have testing. And I think we're never going to have the testing that we need to. People talk about doing 30 million tests a week, 5 million tests a day. That's not going to happen. I think we can assume that. So what we're doing is just starting to go back. And, I mean, you have, for example, the Kentucky Derby says that they're going to run in September. The NFL, I think, is in the midst of announcing its schedule. NFL schedule starting in September. So different groups are doing things differently and not with a lot of information about how best to do this. We would do well to have both national and local leadership on this that we don't. And so we're just kind of making it up. And I'm sure there'll be a price to pay for all this. And unfortunately, we're only going to find out about it later.
You're one of those leaders, though. So if I hear you right, though, you would not advise at this time. I mean, you got to always plan for the worst case scenario. But given the current conditions, I'm amazed that we're telling parents who are already trying to cope, and teachers, my wife's a teacher still, doctor, and I know on Zoom, it is incredibly frustrating, tiring, et cetera, to do this. I don't see the idea of not putting this off for a couple months at least to say probably no school in September. I don't get that.
I agree with you. Also, not everything's the same. I mean, Dave Rubin at the Policy Lab at Children's Hospital Philadelphia put out an excellent op-ed and does this sort of modeling to show that the critical parameters are population density and spread in populations that are dense. In populations that are less dense, that have less spread, or even populations that are dense that have less spread, you know, you're probably safe starting to go back to work or go back to school. But again, it's hard to know without that data because we're never going to have those data, meaning the,
right.
you know, the, the, uh, the testing data. I think that should never substitute, however, for just good hygiene. So I think, you know, can you go back to school by, you know, wearing masks and making sure that you do as best you can, you know, wash your hands as frequently as possible and as best you can do social distancing? I think that would do a lot to dramatically reduce the spread. It wouldn't eliminate it. And I don't think that should be the goal. The goal should not be to have no more cases and no more deaths. That's going to happen. The goal is to try and balance the desperate need to be able to get back to society so that we don't suffer what's going to be round two of this public health disaster, which is massive joblessness and homelessness. And I just think we're not considering that second part of it as much as we should.
We're talking with Dr. Paul Offit from Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. Is there any metric out there or model that you like where these two tracks are coming together? It seems to me people are reluctant. I get it with politicians. They don't want to say what you and I are just talking about. You have a different modality. I have a talk show host, a different duty. And that is, there is going to be risk. There will be a certain amount of deaths. That's not being cold or meaningless, but it's saying on the other side of the equation, the destruction is equal or worse. Is there a metric, or are we going by best evidence and gut feelings in saying that?
Yeah, no, I think we're going with, but take a step back for a second. Every year, influenza virus causes 30 right. million cases, it causes 700,000 hospitalizations, and it causes as many as 60,000 deaths a year. When we sheltered in place this year, what happened is, although we were coming to the end, towards the end of the influenza season, we had a dramatic drop in influenza cases. Not surprisingly, we weren't going out as much. I mean, you could argue that if you wanted to save the 30 or 40,000 deaths that occur every year from flu, we should all stay inside every winter. But we can't do that because we can't shut down our economy
exactly.
to do that. I mean, so the same thing arguably is true here. The goal is not to overwhelm the healthcare system. I mean, that goal's already been
exactly.
reached. And I think it's assumed that when we go back to work, there is going to be a bump. As long as it doesn't overwhelm the healthcare system, then we'll handle it. But I think we just have to take into consideration just the harm that's associated with the cure. I mean, you know, there's a cure worse than the disease. I mean, it's bad either way. But I think we've been ignoring that sort of second part of this that is inevitable.
Parting question for you. You are a fairly prolific author, given all of your other duties. Are you thinking about a book around this, given your expertise and contention in areas of vaccines and things of that nature? What are you thinking? Are you thinking of something that there's an angle, an overwhelming question out there that's worthy of that?
Sure. I think me and probably 1 million other people are thinking about writing books about this. But it's certainly an unprecedented event.
Well, Doctor, thank you so much, as always. Thanks for your expertise. And I know you'll be talking with the National Institutes of Health and people like that. That's weighty stuff. So, Doctor, thank you. Thanks for joining us here on the show.
Thank you, Dom.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.